arriving during the early to middle part of next week. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
This is Attorney Saj Grubbs inviting you to our free Lunch and Learn on November 14th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The topic is 7 mistakes you don't want to make in your estate plan and how to choose a home health provider. Call 649-4911 to register.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. Governor Kay Ivey makes history, becoming the first Republican woman elected governor. Ivey came in with 60% of the vote. Democratic challenger Walt Maddox had 40% of the vote. In the Attorney General's race, incumbent Republican Steve Marshall defeated Joseph Siegelman 59% to 41%. In the race for lieutenant governor, Republican Will Ainsworth defeated Democrat Will Boyd. Ainsworth came out with 61% to Boyd's 39%. And Republican Secretary of State John Merrill has won a second term. He wins out over Democrat Heather Milam, 61% to 39%. And Republican State Auditor Jim Ziegler has also won a second term. He beat Democrat Miranda Joseph by a margin of 61% to 39%. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
The holidays are here, and while most of us will be busy planning the next big meal, thousands of families in the River region will go to bed hungry. Blue Water Broadcasting and McGriff Paint and Body Auto Service are doing something about it, and you can help. Drop off non-perishable food items to McGriff Paint and Body Auto Service and help stuff our Sprinter van full of food. McGriff Paint and Body Auto Service has been keeping the River Region going since 1949. It's our annual holiday food drive. Donate what you can. From Blue Water Broadcasting and McGriff Paint and Body Auto Service.
To find out how you can help, visit newstalk931.com. At Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars, it's all about buying confidence and trust. For over 50 years, they've offered a great selection of the finest and best hand-picked cars in the area. These cars have passed a rigid multi-point inspection and are backed by value pricing and the Jack Ingram Signature Car Stamp of Approval. Choose from the largest selection of Nissan, Volkswagen, Volvo, Audi, and Porsche certified vehicles in our area, or shop hundreds of other pre-owned makes starting as low as $7,000. And if it doesn't fit in your garage or your spouse doesn't like it, you have 5 days to return it for a full refund. 5 days to drive and decide. Need another reason to shop at Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars? They're the area's largest buyer of used cars. Value pricing that can't be beat. 50 plus years of service to our community, a 5-day return policy, credit options for everyone, and a huge inventory of cars, trucks, and SUVs.
Come see me, Tip James, at Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars on Eastern Boulevard, or shop online at jackingram.com.
Mileage restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source, 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Intellectually honest, philosophically consistent radio. News and views from 9 till noon. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Battle for control of Congress.
The Democrats will reclaim control of the U.S. House of Representatives, winning new power.
Of the midterm elections, Republicans are going to keep the Senate.
In Tennessee, one woman was killed when a tornado ripped her home apart. Tornadoes also reported in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama.
A jury finding Bangladeshi immigrant Akayed Ullah guilty of federal terrorism charges. He was caught in December detonating a bomb strapped to his body at the height of New York City's rush hour.
Chris Watts pleading guilty to murdering his pregnant wife and two young daughters, leaving their bodies in this Colorado oil field.
The body of Army National Guard Major Brent Taylor returned to U.S. soil.
The man suspected of sending more than a dozen pipe bombs to critics of President Trump was ordered held without bail in his first appearance in a New York federal court.
Duncan Hines recalling nearly 2.5 million boxes of cake mix because of possible salmonella contamination.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. Newstar 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Wednesday. First time caller, since you let Joey, the producer, know, we'll get your name in for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. $50 gift card from Fresh Market. Can't go wrong with that. Doing that drawing today towards the end of the show. Any caller can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. And Jason was our last winner for that, and we've got his information. Yep. Let's do this. So there was a kind of a little dust-up with Acosta and Trump at the post-election press conference that he did. I have not heard this. We were watching it, though. Let's listen in together.
And then the follow-up.
You heard my answer. Go ahead.
Well, since it's Jim, I'll let it go.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to challenge you on one of the statements that you made in the tail end of the campaign in the midterms.
Here we go.
That this caravan was an invasion. As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me that.
Why did you characterize it as such?
Because I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants in this election to try to keep
them? I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process, and I want people to come in, and we need the people. You know why we need the people, don't you? Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
Right. But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
so on.
Well,
that's true.
They
weren't actors.
They're not going to be doing
that. They weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood. Right. These were people. This was an actual, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President,
That's
President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's
Peter Alexander. A very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. Go ahead.
In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts his butt.
Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either, so
I understand.
To be honest.
So let me ask you a question, if I can. You repeatedly
You aren't the best.
Mr. President, you repeatedly, over the course
okay,
of...
Okay, just sit down, please. Well, when you report fake news, no. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Go ahead.
Mr. President, over the course of the last...
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. A little dust up there.
That's the circus if I've ever
seen. And the thing is, he's right. It is an invasion. If they're coming here and going through Mexico and say, no, we don't want asylum in Mexico, we want to go to the United States, and they're not going to go through ports of entry, and they're going to give a phony asylum claim there? I mean, that is an invasion. It just amazes me how these liberal pointy-head media types handle things. It just really absolutely amazes me. Okay, let's get back on the subject. That was good. Thanks for getting that up there. Let's do the midterm election, and this is the CBS analysis here. And listen to the tone.
Let's take a look at some of those exit polls about why there was such massive turnout. We learned that two-thirds of those who voted said they were voting to send a message to Trump.
A fourth of voters casted in support of the president. 4 in 10 cast votes to oppose him. A third said it had nothing to do with him. But that signals that the president, much as he wanted it to be, much as we expected it would be, it became about him.
What about the number of moderate Republicans who lost their seats in the House?
They're a dying breed. At this point, we're down to basically Will Hurd of Texas, who I know will be here later this morning. Guys like Carlos Curbelo in the Miami area lost, Mike Kaufman in the Denver suburbs. Those have been longtime Democratic targets, and in a year like this, they lost.
And those are the moderates who didn't decide to retire because they took a look at the environment and saw that it was inhospitable to Republicans in swing districts. And Nancy, you cover the Senate. Of course, Democrats lost a number of seats. Republicans enlarged their majority. Right. And Democrats, frankly, were stunned. They thought perhaps they might lose the Heidi Heitkamp race in North Dakota or Claire McCaskill in Missouri. They were not expecting that Joe Donnelly in Indiana would lose. And now Senator Bill Nelson of Florida also on the cusp of losing. I was talking to Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, who was not up for re-election, but is now going to have to say goodbye to a number of his colleagues. He said he's heartbroken, and he's worried about what this means for the party, because you have so many of the moderate deal makers in the Senate Democratic caucus leaving.
The deal man, let me tell you something. The Senate is going to be drastically more conservative. I mean, when you're replacing Flake with McSally, you're replacing Nelson with Scott, you're taking Donnelly and putting Braun in, you're taking McCaskill out and putting Holly. I mean, that is a much more conservative Senate. And that's going to be good for those people who are more of the conservative liberty type people that are out there, because the other side, the people that they're replacing, that didn't work for them. So it's going to be much better. So let's go in and let's pick up with the Red Top. Hey, Red Top, welcome aboard.
Hey guys, I think yesterday was a great day for President Trump. Made tremendous progress, and now the good part about it is most of the flaky guys are never Trumpers are gone, and I don't think he's going to be fighting his own party anymore. And that is going to make a huge difference, because I think he spent the first year fighting his own party.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think it's been a great day for him, and his press conference was awesome. I hope you got a chance to watch it.
I got to see a chunk of it, not all of them.
Oh, the best part. I hope you got to see the part where he put CNN in their place. Oh, yeah.
We just played that.
Oh, that was wonderful, guys. So, and the voting situation is bizarre with the iPads, and it's kind of slow, don't y'all think?
Well, a couple of things. You know, the callers were right yesterday saying you don't see a picture of anybody. So if somebody's got my license and they know where I vote, they're going to be able to go in and vote for me if they wanted to.
In fact, the gentleman that called Robert Carter, I just painted his house this year, so I was stunned to see, and he's a very nice gentleman, and he was right. I didn't even think of that part, but, you know, they looked at my ID to see my face now where I voted. But he had a point, didn't he?
No, he did. They didn't do it because they just put my ID right in the little slot.
Yeah, that's all they did for me. Didn't seem to be any faster. Now, where I voted was a very small polling place. I only had one iPad and a few boxes. But I could see, I had a customer from Wind Lakes who had to go to St. James. She said it was unbelievably slow.
Yeah, I tell you what I did is when I walked into the polling place, I turned on the stopwatch on my phone. And from the point that I came through the door to the point that I walked out of the door was 5 minutes and 2 seconds. That's pretty fast.
Oh, that's very fast. One question for Joey, and I can hang up. I know y'all got a lot of callers. What do you think the millennial performance and breakdown was yesterday in the election in your age group and their overall philosophy going forward? If you could enlighten me, I would appreciate that.
Honestly, I don't know.
just because I am a millennial doesn't mean I keep up with the millennials.
He didn't listen to Millennial Talk Radio.
Well, there is no such thing. Thank goodness.
Well, I can.
Joey, you have a chance.
Well, you're going to pick up some of that in the in some of these reports. For example, in Florida, the lack of people voting in those age brackets, that 18 to 29, was one of the reasons Nelson did not win.
Yeah, my assumption is that younger people usually don't turn out very well, and I think that assumption held true.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, Dan and I come from the Vietnam era, so to speak, where we had just gotten our right to vote, and we were in a different frame of mind than people are today. So
without
it was a much different situation back then, wouldn't you say, Dan?
Oh, without a doubt. I remember very clearly my first election when I was 18 years old in 1972. And I was excited, involved in the political process, got to go to the Miami convention. Thank you, Red Blunt. And I was really excited. And
yeah.
And I've never missed an election. I've never missed a vote.
You know what? It kind of set our, quote, generation, Dan, up for a life of political interest and passion that I think a lot of folks don't understand today.
Well, Red Top, let me add to that. When you look at the baby boomers and you look at their voting lines, when they talk about old people voting, well, they're talking about baby boomers. And that group is consistent in going to the polls. They're very, very consistent. The older you are in that trend line, the more consistent you are.
Yeah, except, you know, we're baby boomers. We're not old people, Dan.
I know, exactly right. You know, 60, 70 is the old 50, you know?
Oh my God, don't talk. I'm about to be 65. 70 is going to be very young real soon.
Yeah, really. So have you made your Medicare decision yet?
Yeah, I'm not going to the damn doctor. I do my push-ups every day. Thank you.
Well,
bye-bye.
Yeah, okay, but good luck. Don't let them find you. I hate to break the news to them. You got to at least sign up. News Talk 93.1. We'll be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bell Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. It can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
Big A Tires been serving the Montgomery area 40 years, still going strong. They are Big A Tires, and they carry all tire brands, priced for your budget, including Michelin, Bridgestone, Firestone, Cooper, also Michelin, BF Goodrich, and Uniroyal at dealer invoice. If you need an oil change, they can take care of it. They also align your car and replace any parts needed. Make sure when it comes to car or truck repair, you see Big A Tire just past Bama Lanes on the Atlanta Highway.
Join the City of Montgomery for the Veterans Day celebration Monday, November 12th from 10 to 1 at Riverwalk Stadium. This free event will have entertainment, kids' activities, and refreshments. Sponsored by Spire Energy, Williams Loving Care, and the Montgomery Biscuits.
Are you hosting the holidays at your house this year? Need some money to deck the halls? Then it's time you make a call to Alabama Home Mortgage at 567-4223. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, where we make mortgages easy. It's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. We understand the holiday season can be stressful, but what if I told you it doesn't have to be? We at Alabama Home Mortgage are here to lighten Santa's load. With one call to Alabama Home Mortgage, you can unwrap the gift of refinance. By refinancing your home, you can get the money you need to make those home improvements you've been dreaming of. You can be the hostess with the mostest. Don't put Christmas on a credit card this year. Call me, Kim Williams, today at 567-4223 or visit our website at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama home mortgage. NMLS 372-374, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, Tammy, let me tell you about how to bring in those big deer.
Randy, I know how to attract the big bucks.
Ah, very funny. At Prattville Farm Center, we've been helping hunters be successful for over 35 years.
We have the products, supplies, and knowledge you need to get those big bucks.
That's right, Tammy. We don't believe in gimmicks or magic seed. We just believe in sound planting practices that work.
So come see us today at 1154 South Memorial Drive in Prattville.
Now that we're done talking about those big bucks, how about those cute does.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Mallory Hogan, candidate against Democrat nominee for against Mike Rogers. We would play the tape for you, but it's just Joey and I agree it's too tinty. It wouldn't sound good. But she let Nancy Worley and Joe Reed have it, and for not having a campaign operation that she could tap into, and she just let it eat. And I would love to talk to her. She's a beautiful woman. I'd love to talk to her to see what her philosophy is of why she's a Democrat, and because she never got into that, and I never saw anything that she was talking about it. Okay, let's continue on with the midterm analysis. They're going to be talking about the Kavanaugh factor, and this was big. This was one of the big things when you look at Missouri, for example, or Indiana.
Democrats who were living in Republican states.
Correct. And they have to cut deals to survive.
Right. What does this mean, if anything, for Chuck Schumer? With the Democratic Party now, they lost some of their races. Did the Democrats think, structurally it was just a bad year for us, or are they going to look for new leadership?
Right. They are going to want to avoid drawing any lessons from this race because they're going to say, well, look, it was just the map. We were up in all of these red states. What did you think was going to happen? But there are going to be some Democrats making the case. First of all, we got to figure out what's going on in Florida. This is supposed to be a swing state, and yet even in a year where everything should have been going the Democrats' way, it didn't.
Well, just to follow on, John, what about all of those Democrats who lost in red states in the Senate? All voted against Kavanaugh. The exit polls show that was a factor.
Yeah, whether it was the factor, whether it was a contributing factor, I think we're going to be sorting that out for several weeks to come. Republicans would like you to think this morning that it had something to do with it, and certainly we know that it helped drive Republican interest and energy and turnout in the closing week.
It's hard not to draw a correlation.
Right. Yeah. But, the math.
Also,
these were states that the president had won by big numbers. They were already going to be on, they were going to be big targets anyway, and they contributed to it.
But look at Joe Manchin, who won.
Right.
He voted for him.
Yeah. Right. But then you've got someone like Phil Bredesen in Tennessee, who was a potential pickup for the Democratic Party, very popular in Tennessee, even though he's a Democrat. He said that he would have voted for Kavanaugh, and he lost.
Yeah, I think there's a trust factor in that, and Tennessee is basically three states in one, but it's a very conservative. This is an example. When you look at Marsha Blackburn compared to Corker, I mean, that is a 180 degree move towards a conservative versus this moderate, squishy kind of guy who's logged up a lot of years in the Senate, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, but. That's an example of becoming a lot more conservative. So they're going to continue, and they're going to be talking about the woman factor.
Give us your sense, then, what would have happened in those cases in a Democratic constituency where women are very important to turning out your vote if those senators had said, I'm going to vote for Kavanaugh. I mean, there would have been a downside in their own.
Which was the calculation for Joe Donnelly and for Claire McCaskill, especially, because they understood that they needed to drive up support that they did have there and hope that there were enough independents elsewhere they didn't have them. By the way, if you think this was topsy-turvy, remember that in 2020, Republicans will have the problem that Democrats had this year.
Right.
More seats to defend in blue states.
Yeah. What if there was one moment of unity last night, 8 in 10 voters said they want more women in power in Congress holding that political seats.
And women made moderate gains last night. We're going to end up at the end of the day with most likely more woman senator than we had before. So instead of 23, you'd have 24.
We saw women making gains in the governorship's race as well.
They did. And moderate gains in the House as well. They go up a little bit from their record, but still a long way to go.
Interesting. So Arizona would obviously go female, and I think McSally will pull that out. Nevada, Heller lost to a female, Rosen, and then you had Marsha Blackburn win in Tennessee for another pickup of a woman. And the neat thing is, the Republicans are the ones that are doing the statewide stuff versus the kind of the district or local kind of person. I mean, look at the number of women governors, and Kay Ivey is at the top of the list. I was shocked at how much they talked about her last night on different places, saying that Alabama's the reddest of red, and Alabama's making history with having a first female Republican governor. I was kind of stunned that they were throwing that bone towards Alabama, but even on, and let me tell you something, there was such a difference of watching CNN and Fox. The people who did the actual best were NBC. NBC had the best website. NBC, Kornacki was outstanding in the way he was handling information. He wasn't tilting it like Brian Williams wanted him to. Fox did okay, but Fox was more too conversational and didn't have kind of the juice that was there. Laura Ingraham added a lot more to it than anybody else. Dana Perina and Laura kind of carried it. But Dana's just not that knowledgeable. But let me tell you what did come out of this. Is you had Karl Rove and some other people all in unison that were involved in Reagan and also in Bush, and say that what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to lawyer up. I did not know this, but they added 30 new lawyers in the White House that they were doing fees to handle all of the stuff. 30.
Wow.
To handle all of the stuff that they were getting from the request once the Dems took over Congress from Bush. That was big. And they did it not in having 30 in-house staff people, but they had contract people who were working with the staff people to get all the things that they needed. But that's big. And he said, you got to kind of hunker down on this. Newstown 93.1, this hour brought to you by Brubaker Motors on the Eastern Bypass in Prattville location. Jay Scott got taken care of by Brubaker. He was having problems with his car, and they got him a loaner and got him all taken care of. That's the power of Brubaker, because it's a better buy at Brubaker. We're going to be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why aren't more things in life customizable? Why isn't a burger cheaper when you ask for no onions? I don't want them. So shouldn't you deduct the price of the onions? Right? Otherwise, I'm paying for the onions, but I'm not receiving any onions.
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
I don't mean to be so uptight, but my heart's been hurt a couple times by a couple guys that didn't treat me right. I ain't gonna lie, ain't gonna lie.
Alexa, play Meant to Be.
Okay.
If it's meant to be.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dave, Gene from corporate. You placed an ad on that huge national job site, and now HR has thousands of useless applications.
Well, Gene, you clearly said we want quantity, not quality.
That's exactly the opposite of what I said, Dave.
Oh, well, like my mother taught me, if at first you don't succeed, cut your losses and run. Bye!
Dave.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Lillian Wu. The president declaring midterm elections a success for Republicans despite losing the House.
There were victories last night that nobody would believe.
Though in his victory lap, running into some verbal scuffles at the press conference, like with CNN's Jim Acosta challenging him on his description of migrants.
They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question. Mr. President,
Once again blaming the media for a lot of problems in the country. Fox News just making a projection in a tight race in Montana. Democratic Senator John Tester projected to defeat Republican challenger Matt Rosendale with 91% of precincts reporting, Tester leading 49% to 48%. This is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by Gulf Coast Supply. Offering 40 color options, 8 traditional metal roofing profiles, and 5 stamped metal profiles. See what your project would look like at proofmyroof.com.
Rich Thomas Weather!
Hi, everybody. A series of disturbances moving through will keep us wet at times from now through Friday. Scattered showers and thunderstorms around from time to time today. High 74. Tonight's low 60. Tomorrow, cloudy. Risk of more showers and storms here and there. High temperature around 71. On Friday, a high temperature near 70. Showers and thunderstorms are likely as a cold front slices through the state. Much cooler air follows over the upcoming weekend with a high near 60 on Saturday, near 40 on Saturday night, and a slice of even much colder air arriving during the early to middle part of next week. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Heirloom Jewelers, specializing in antique and estate jewelry, diamonds, high-end watches, and more. Buy, sell, and trade with Heirloom Jewelers on Vaughn Road. And find Heirloom Jewelers on Facebook.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Dan Morris Show.
This is where we are. Okay, let's get into how some of these networks were reporting the things this morning. This is Nancy Cordes talking about the midterm and the effect of it.
What an exciting night it was. An overwhelming voter turnout in this year's midterm elections gave both parties something to celebrate. The new Congress will be divided, with Democrats leading the House and Republicans in charge of the Senate, expanding their majority. This means President Trump's agenda will face new challenges. Democrats picked up more than 24 House seats to take control for the first time in 8 years.
But the GOP added to its narrow majority in the Senate after the president's last-minute campaign blitz. The election was a big day for female candidates. At least 114 women won their races to serve as governors, senators, and congresswomen. That includes incumbents and new candidates. Nancy Cordes is here.
Seismic realignment that we are about to see in Washington, D.C. House Democrats will now have the power to investigate the president and his cabinet and block funding for his top priorities, like the border wall. At the same time, if they or the president want to get anything done the next 2 years, they will now have to work together.
Change came tonight.
It wasn't a tsunami, but the blue wave was big enough.
We want a better nation.
Democrats defeating moderate House Republicans in urban and suburban districts.
I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me tonight.
Nancy Pelosi, who lost the speakership in 2010 when her party lost control, will now seek to reclaim the gavel.
We will drain the swamp of dark interest money.
Democrats made health care their number one issue, and exit polls showed it was top of mind by far for voters, too, helping to drive up turnout across the country.
Excuse me. So that was the top of mind. I'm not, and again, I think the Republican House members ran a bad game. They didn't. I saw no strategy and saw no cohesive message, and they were fumbling around with the health care issue. So let's continue on and talking about turnout.
But that turnout had a downside for several Senate Democrats up for re-election in Republican states.
Keep that fire burning.
Missouri's Claire McCaskill, Indiana's Joe Donnelly, and North Dakota's Heidi Heitkamp got swamped by GOP challengers. All three senators had opposed the president's Supreme Court pick, Brett Kavanaugh.
We knew we took some votes that a lot of people would criticize.
Joe Manchin!
The only Senate Democrat to back Kavanaugh, West Virginia's Joe Manchin, did survive, but delivered this sharp rebuke to the commander-in-chief.
Mr. President, I want you to be president of the United States, not the divided states.
One of the most closely watched Senate races was in the Lone Star State.
This election was a battle of ideas.
Republican Ted Cruz beat back a Texas-sized challenge from Democrat Beto O'Rourke, who racked up huge funding and a following, but ended up falling short by 3 points.
And this campaign holds a very special place in the history of this country every day going forward. And you have made that possible.
The on that part of it, Cruz only won by 218,000 votes. That's a tight race, 3%. Beto spent $70 million, basically, when you look at everything. And then that had an effect because Sessions, who I didn't think was beatable, lost yesterday. And lost by a pretty substantial amount, but he is more that moderate. And I think that's what was happening, is that the conservatives weren't supporting him like he wanted to be. But that Texas race was something else, And this guy, you get used to seeing him. He's too much in love with himself to walk away here. And all of these people, whether it's Booker, whether it's Kamala Harris, whether it's Elizabeth Warren, all those people were making a big statement last night, particularly Elizabeth Warren. She, you know, we're just now getting started type thing, which was code for I'm running for president of the United States.
Yes.
Bernie Sanders was one of the first races that was called yesterday. And one of the first things he said was, we've got so much undone business that we need to take care of. So you can, I mean, it's going to be a fight on their part. And I think the O'Rourke person may actually have, because it's that new face, untested. It's not the old school stuff. He's kind of fresh, young type thing. I can see him kind of putting himself in that JFK kind of motif. But, you know, he dropped the F-bomb last night talking about, in his loss, he said, it's not effing over type thing. We're just beginning. So that was his deal. So let's kind of pop off some of these races here. Let's start with the Florida's governor's race. And race was the big indicator in this thing. Watch this.
The Democratic Party's effort to make history in the Florida governor's race fell short. Former Republican Congressman Ron DeSantis beat Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum by less than 60,000 votes. Gillum would have been Florida's first black governor. Republicans may have also flipped a Senate seat in Florida. Democratic Senator Bill Nelson is trailing outgoing Governor Rick Scott by about 38,000 votes, and there may have to be a recount. Manuel Bojorquez is at the governor's mansion in Tallahassee.
That race and the one to determine who will now live here at the governor's mansion were as high profile as it gets. Both parties poured millions of dollars into the state, and while polls showed the Democrats might be able to pull off a victory, in the end, the nation's third most populous state went largely red.
Thank you, Florida, for your support.
Governor-elect Ron DeSantis took the stage in Orlando, pledging to work for all Floridians.
I don't care if you were against me in the campaign. I want to work with you to advance our common priorities.
In his concession speech, Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum struck a more defiant tone, encouraging disappointed supporters not to give up.
I can guarantee you this. I'm not going anywhere. We're going to fight. We're going to keep fighting.
The fight word that's being used here. Well, I wonder what he's going to run for, because he can do governor in 4 years, but I think the mayorship is riding way on him. I looked up his congressional district. He's in a red congressional district, so that's not going to help him out any. So I'm not sure what he's going to be running for, because he's got 4 years if he's going to do it on the gubernatorial side, 2 years if he wants to try it on the federal side. I just don't see that happening.
Take a break and be a presidential chairman for somebody in your state.
There you go. Or be mayor of Tallahassee for a little longer.
Yeah.
Okay, so now they're going to be talking about that. The race and the Florida governor's race broke along racial lines, and then it's going to talk about the Senate race, which, by the way, let me add the caveat, Nelson just announced that he wants a recount for the race, which he is given one if it's 0.5% or less, and it's 0.4% right now. Let's listen to this piece.
The vote broke heavily along racial lines. Gillum won nearly 70% of the state's non-white voters. He also won more than 60% of voters aged 18 to 44. But DeSantis won 60% of white voters and 54% of Floridians age 45 and older, by far the largest voting group in the election.
I'd like to thank our president for standing by me.
DeSantis had the full-throttled support of the president and campaigned with him in the days leading up to the election, along with his predecessor, Rick Scott. In the state Senate race, Scott declared a premature victory over three-term incumbent Senator Bill Nelson.
I'm not going to D.C. to win a popularity contest. I'm going to D.C. to get something done.
Nelson is behind by around 38,000 votes, a number close enough to trigger an automatic recount under Florida law.
Let's get to work!
Senator Nelson has not conceded as the last votes are being counted. In the meantime, the voting landscape could be changing for 2020, and that's because Florida voters approved an amendment that would restore the voting rights of convicted felons who have served their time, and that could add more than 1 million new voters to the rolls here.
That's incredible. Now, notice that he said that Gillum got 70% of the non-white vote. To me, when I went back and looked at it, and by the way, NBC had by far the best coverage of this thing. They had these electronic maps that you could go in and see the percentage by county, and you could see the racial makeup that was there. But the amazing thing to me is DeSantis got 30% of the non-white vote.
That is amazing.
That's a big number. And Scott was in the basic. Scott actually got a larger percentage. The problem, when you look at the numbers, what actually happened to Gillum, you take the Gillum DeSantis numbers and you add them together, and they are less votes than there were for the Scott Nelson race.
I mean, and
which means people just did not vote in that race.
This data point, I mean, and that is, you know, a bigger number than for most Republicans you'll need it, I think, going forward in the state of Florida, given the demographics. But Just it's a, that data point right there with the Florida governor's race. This midterm cycle seems like a fairly historically normal midterm cycle with a few surprises. I mean, but it's about how you would expect a midterm cycle to go, given
considering
what it's been
like. Considering you had vacancies there. Because, see, Scott ran 4 years ago, and there's a lot less votes. But he didn't have any real opposition there because he breezed through and, you know, just wasn't that big of a deal. This was a big deal because you had an open governor's seat, open lieutenant governor's seat, open U.S. Senate seat. And those that changes changes everything. So I thought that was interesting to do that. Now, let's if we have enough time, let's move to Georgia and the Stacey Abrams. And she ain't getting out.
Well, Democrats also found some success in the races for governor. They flipped at least four governorships, two of them in states that voted for President Trump in 2016. But Georgia's high-profile governor's race is still undecided. Republican Brian Kemp holds a narrow lead over Democrat Stacey Abrams, who's trying to be the first female African-American governor in U.S. history. She told supporters overnight she will not concede.
We cannot seize it until all voices are heard. And I promise you tonight, we're going to make sure that every vote is counted.
Kemp, meantime, says he is confident of victory.
A very strong lead. And folks, make no mistake, the math is on our side to win this election.
There are still potentially tens of thousands of ballots left to be counted in this election, and Stacey Abrams and her team believe that could be enough to swing this election in her favor and push it toward a runoff. Last night, they were still counting volunteers, counting absentee and provisional ballots for hours. Abrams' team says that process will continue this morning, and there's hope. But problems arose in several counties last night. In some precincts, the polls closed 3 hours later than planned because of long lines and voting machine problems. In one precinct in Fulton County, a judge extended voting for 2 hours because the precinct only got three machines. It was supposed to get eight. During the contentious race, each side accused the other of misconduct. Abrams accused Kemp of voter suppression tactics, while Kemp accused Democrats here of attempting to hack the voter rolls. He gave no evidence. Georgia law requires the winning candidate to get 50% plus one vote at least. Otherwise, it heads to a runoff. It would be the first gubernatorial runoff in the state's history.
Guys, when we get back to this, we just got word that Attorney General Jeff Sessions has resigned today, just a little while ago. We're going to go to a break, see if we can chew this up. Be back. Dan Morris Show right after this.
Listening to the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Quiet, roomy, and downright plush. Sounds like a five-star hotel, right? Well, close, except this one has four wheels under it. It's the all-new, fully redesigned 2019 Ram 1500 of Brubaker, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. From luxury truck to work truck, the Ram 1500 delivers a smooth ride without sacrificing towing or hauling capability. It's lighter, stronger, and fine-tuned for improved ride comfort, off-road capability, and load leveling. These are creature features you can't get from a hotel. Trucks have no business being this nice inside, but don't be fooled by the sedan-like ride. The new 2019 Ram 1500 can tow up to 12,750 pounds or shoulder as much as 2,300 pounds of payload. Come experience the difference of the all-new, redesigned 2019 Ram 1500 at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. We're in Prattville, Montgomery, and always online at Brubaker.com. Better vehicles, better service, and better pricing. It's a better buy at Brubaker.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
Guys, we're going to take Catherine Harris talking about the subject matter of Jeff Sessions in just a little bit. Joey, beam in on what just about time. Well, can you pick that up, too?
Yeah, well, I've got it paused here. We can pick that up.
Reminder that this hour, Mr. Electric wants to make sure you've got smart technology in your home. Give them a call. Find out what they can do to save you money by using the Nest thermostat. With the you can remotely turn it on and off. It will know your habits. You can program it. It can say that you're not there. And then it's going to turn everything off if you wanted to. So call them and find out how they can make your house a smart and less expensive house to operate. My power bill has plummeted since I've gotten wise and taking the tips from Mr. Electric. Get ready to copy 334-269-8886, 269-8886. Mr. Electric, put that number in your phone. Let's go to the breaking news of Jeff Sessions resigning.
Oh, come on.
Well, maybe not.
This is going to be slow. Really? Go. Really?
Oh, did we miss it?
Yeah, it wouldn't let me pause it. My goodness.
I'll pick it up from wherever we can. Oops. Okay, this is Jason Politano talking about it. Hopefully.
Well, apparently it doesn't want to work. Good, great website. Just great website, Fox News. But it would be now Acting Attorney General Whitaker. Trump has made a tweet, an announcement on that. One thing Judge Napolitano is saying here is this was done in such haste, this resignation letter. They didn't even take the time to put a date on it. That this was, it seems like a very swift decision, though Trump said in his tweet he thanked Jeff Sessions for his service.
So kind of like a kick in the butt on the way out of the door?
Yeah, and this, I mean, this makes Sessions even more vulnerable. I mean, he was still subject to it as the Attorney General, but now that he's the former Attorney General, the Democrats running the House and the oversight investigations there could very well subpoena him to appear before them and make a circus out of what Jeff Sessions knows and what he did while he was Attorney General. It's not working.
Shit, whoa, man, why? Stuff doesn't work when you need it to work here.
But that is the big breaking news. And we saw this coming. I don't think we saw it coming today, though.
Yeah. So the number four person is going to be moving up?
Whitaker is his
versus last name. Rosenstein.
Yes.
That is interesting.
It is interesting. John Roberts over there at the White House.
See if we can try this again.
Okay, we'll try it.
Now they're asking John Roberts if did the president ask for it or did he just give it?
Come on and work. It's not going to work.
Man, God. What a great way to run breaking news right here on... Then I may have it.
And it's saying, okay, it's in the letter itself, at your request, I'm submitting my resignation.
Ah.
Sessions wrote to Trump. So that is interesting. I mean, it's and really what the story is right now is general background, the story that's been developing over the last year or two. That Trump has been incredibly frustrated with the fact that Jeff Sessions has recused himself from the Russia investigation and been so hands-off.
And if this guy who's replacing, it's going to be interesting if he is going to pick up the Mueller investigation from Rosenstein. Since he does not have to recuse himself because he didn't have any involvement in the campaign.
Right. And we'll see. I mean, this leaves all sorts of questions out there of how this will go forward. If I'm this new guy coming in, I would probably...
Don't think that because the headline, that the story's going to match up, okay. Match with it. They do that quite a bit. Just to kind of mess things up.
But yeah, that's the big breaking news. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is no more. He has resigned, and it seems at the request of the president. And this has happened.
You want to try it again?
I can. it's being difficult, not working at all. I could try one other option here if this doesn't work again. No.
Man. So people are asking me, will he come home and possibly run for his old seat, which could be interesting. Or will he just kind of come home and be lauded on by Alabamians who love him? I wonder what Bradley Burns thinks about this.
This were a prelude to ending or greatly limiting the Mueller
Chuck Schumer
investigation. And I hope President Trump and those he listens to will refrain from that. Now, I want to take, let's see what we should do here. I mean, I know you'll want to have other questions on this, but let's.
I want to also bring in Zeke Miller, who joins us as well, who's at the White House. Zeke, any reaction from White House officials? I know this news just broke, but when you talked about this to them, what was their take on it? We also know that on the campaign trail, the president has spoken pretty aggressively about his temporary replacement.
Yeah, certainly, talking to some White House officials, the initial quick reaction to them over text has been largely, we all knew this was coming. There's nobody who's surprised here. They are also signaling, we heard the president in his press conference a couple of hours ago make very clear that if he wanted to, he can fire everyone at the Justice Department involved in the Mueller probe, including the special counsel. That's his interpretation of the statute there, but that he's decided not to do so for both political concerns, mostly for political concerns. So there is not an indication here that this is part of a larger purger however you want to describe it, sort of a cleaning out of the Justice Department or even an assault on the Mueller probe itself. The president has been very clear that he believes it's a witch hunt, but according to White House officials, this is Sessions focused and largely reflects the relationship that has not been a strong personal relationship between the two, and the president believes that he is entitled to a strong personal relationship with his attorney general, one of his sort of the big four cabinet members.
Any sense, Zeke, as to why now?
In terms of today, hours after, I think there's an element of the nation is been consumed by the outcome of this midterm election. So now today is the day that you can sort of almost take it out, and it doesn't make it as big a story. That's one interpretation here at the White House, and also that this has been in the works for quite some time, and that Sessions potentially just didn't want to hang on very much longer. The president didn't want to hang on very much longer either. But at the same time, it was certainly here from PR professionals and others in the Republican Party saying that the president just took a big victory lap in the East Room of the White House, and here he is essentially stepping on that on his own news with this. This session's essentially a firing as forced resignation. So that will be.
News Talk 93.1, Dan Moore Show. Have to go to the top of our break. We'll try to pick this story up as best we can right after this.